Well, hey there. Welcome to The Real Podcast, hosted by Jason Kaliba. We think that real people are interesting, not just celebrities and superstars, but also the guy standing in line next to you at the grocery store and the kid beside you in church. We're passionate about sharing the stories and insights of those people, real people, so that you're challenged and maybe even inspired to grow. If you'd like additional resources or more information about our guests, check out our webpage at cochranalliance.com/real. So, let's get real.
Okay, here we go. For a lot of my career, I got used to being the youngest man or the youngest person in any leadership context. So whether it was a board meeting or any kind of setting, I was the young guy. And about 3 or 4 years ago, and I've served in this church community for now 20 years, but about 3 or 4 years ago, I got an email. Actually, it was from the denomination I work for, the Christian Missionary Alliance. And the heading was something like, "We are sending this email out to all middle-aged pastors." And I thought to myself, well, what are they sending it to me for? And then I realized, oh, yeah, I'm not now the youngest guy in the room. And it was the one of what I'm sure will be many signals to me in my life that that time is advancing and I'm getting older. And it won't be too long. In another 20 years, the matter of my career, my retirement, will be a very live issue for me. And 20 years ago, I'd have said that, well, 20 years is a long time. Now in my mid-40s, it's not that long away. So in the real studio with me today are actually two of my good friends, co-workers, and even a former boss of mine, the original boss that I had in the church setting. And that is the current associate pastor of People Care, Larry Charter, and Don Neufeld, who served in my church, our church, for many years as lead pastor, and more recently was a church effectiveness coach with the Western Canadian District of the Christian Missionary Alliance. It's quite a handle. Gentlemen, welcome today.
Good to be with you. Yeah.
So I've kind of told people about your titles, but tell us, who are you? What do you do? Who are the people that travel life together with you? Okay. Go ahead, Don.
Yes, I'm Don Neufeld, and I've had the privilege of, I grew up in Swift Current, a Saskatchewanian, and started there and finished my high school and then went to university and in Saskatoon and studied the agricultural economics there. Had the privilege of serving overseas in Africa, which I know is very dear to your heart, Larry, and served there for a couple of years. And then felt, I often say that it almost took me to go halfway around the world for God to get my attention and to have a call upon my life to study at Canadian Theological Seminary in Regina. And then after that, I have had the privilege of serving in Alberta, kind of southern Alberta, all these years, the past 37 years. The first 23 were in pastoral ministry in Wetaskiwin, Drumheller, and then here in Cochrane, and then the last 14 years serving at the Western Canadian District Office. So I have 6 children. We have 12 grandchildren. So I feel I'm a very blessed man in that way.
Okay. And tell us, church effectiveness coach, that's a big handle. If you were to sum that up in a couple sentences on what the past 14 years have been, what have you been doing?
Well, there was an awful lot of different responsibilities that were given to me in due course. But nevertheless, the bread and butter, I often say, is to come alongside pastors, and we call them licensed workers, help them to be effective, help them to be fruitful, and also to serve our leadership teams and boards in the local church and help them as well to be effective in their leadership responsibility.
Okay. So, Larry, how about you? I know it's been also a long and illustrious career.
Well, thank you. It's been a wonderful life. And again, if I could do it all over again, I wouldn't change very much in it. I was born into a missionary family. My parents were missionaries in China. And when I was 8 years old, I felt the call of God on my life in a very strong and profound way. And so that led me to dedicating my life to be in God's ministry wherever He was going to take me. And so that took me down many different roads. I started off as a youth pastor in 1979 at Foothills Alliance Church in Calgary. And then from there, we moved to Regina, where I went back to seminary. I actually studied with Don. We sat next mm-hmm. to each other in the study Carroll area and caused a little ruckus every now and then, played hockey together there. Then we moved from there to Quebec City, where Pixie and I studied French at University Laval in preparation to go to Africa. In 1986, we arrived in Guinea, West Africa. Guinea had been closed for the last 12 years, and we were chosen by our denomination with five other couples, some from the States and some from Canada, to go in and reopen the work for the Alliance there in Guinea. And so that's exactly what we did. Pixie and I taught at a Bible school there for training pastors and pastors' wives, and we were there for almost 4 years before we returned to Calgary and then went back to Guinea and then moved way up by the Sahara Desert, actually about 200 kilometers away from the Sahara in a little town called Konkon, where we studied the Menaka language and did church planting and evangelism in some of the most remote places that I've ever been in my life. And from there, we felt a call to go over and work with missionary kids, or we call them third culture kids, in Côte d'Ivoire at the missionary kids school where our girls all went to school. And so we served there for 5 years. We had some health issues with several of our family members, so we came home in 2000 to look for what God's next steps would be for us. And so that led us to opening a charity called Rafa House in Calgary, where we took girls off the streets of Calgary. We were there for 3 years and then came out to Cochrane Alliance to be pastor of People Care. And we've been here for the last 12 years.
Okay. So I know that this year, interestingly enough, holds significance in, I'm maybe letting the cat out of the bag, but both of you turned 65 this year.
That's correct.
So after all those experiences, places, people, you find yourselves looking at retirement. And I don't know, maybe I'll just ask, as you just talked and reflected on all those places, continents that you've been, how does it feel to be 65? Did you think this day would arrive?
Well, you caught me on a day where this is the day of my 65th birthday.
Oh, well, happy birthday. So I didn't today, even know.
Congratulations on two accounts.
Thank you very much. So it seems appropriate that we're going to talk about retirement. And you asked how I might feel.
Yeah.
Well, I feel about 55, not 65 inwardly. But nevertheless, I'm blessed with good health, which I'm very thankful for. Mm-hmm. And as I embark on this new season, you know, it's a new adventure. I think that both Bev and I are looking at it more in terms of, well, it's a release from maybe daily responsibilities and obligations that I welcomed very much. But now there's something new, and it's almost like God has released us. And it's an adventure, like when we even used the illustration when we first got married, and the future was all before us, and we talked about and dreamt about what we might do. And we almost feel like that now, that, well, what are we going to do? And we dream about it and talk about it. So it's good. It's a good place to be.
Okay. Larry, do you feel the same way?
Well, a little bit different for me. When I was 23, starting off in my first ministry as a youth pastor, green behind the ears, I kind of thought, well, retirement, that's never going to happen. I mean, mm-hmm. I just shut it out of my mind because it's such a remote thing. And then here I am kind of waking up from a Rip Van Winkle experience where all of a sudden I'm saying, no, it's now me. I'm retiring, and I'm living out that word instead of just kind of philosophically talking about it. So, it creeps up on you. You don't realize it, and then all of a sudden you realize that this is the next stage or the final chapter, if you want to put it that way, and you're in it.
Hmm. I know I think I might have mentioned this to Don in a previous conversation, but my dad said that the internal voice in his head still sounds like the 20-year-old self.
Mm-hmm. It's absolutely
just the body and the
most
life
days,
experience
yeah.
is different. And mm-hmm. I'm a little behind you guys, but I sense the mm-hmm. same. I still think of myself yeah. the same as I did when I was in my 20s. But I don't look.
Tell you look in the mirror.
Yeah.
So who is that old guy?
So, looking back, any regrets? And on the positive side, what are you most proud of? Maybe Larry, why don't you start that?
Well, I think the thing that I look back with most not pride might not be the right thing, but with great 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 joy, is to know that God gave me the dream of my life and I lived it out. It wasn't just a National Geographic experience where you're watching it through the eyes of media, but I actually went to some of the most remote corners of the world and worked with people that had never seen a white person before and had certainly never heard the gospel message. And I can think of times where I had the opportunity of sharing with the tool of the Jesus film, the story of Jesus with people who had never heard it, people who had walked for days to literally come and see that presentation. And I guess the thing that kind of sends shivers up and down my spine is to know that some of those people will be in heaven someday. I don't know who they are, but we'll meet them up there, knowing that by God's blessing on our life and our ministry, we had the opportunity of touching one of the most remote places in the world. Mm-hmm. That's a real exciting thing to me. Mm. Regrets, the only thing I would say is I think sometimes, like every other guy in the ministry, you struggle with putting ministry over your family, and you look back and say, maybe I would have fine-tuned my approach and made some priorities a little different than I did, rather than just pouring everything into ministry, making my family a bit more of a priority.
Mm, okay. Don, how about you?
Yeah, as far as regrets, I think I was blessed early on to endeavor to live my life in such a way that there would not be any regrets and to live wholeheartedly and lean in.
Oh, that's good.
And as I come to this juncture, I feel like I don't have any regrets or even remorse in that I made the decision to retire, and that decision was given to me to make. Some of the things I'm most proud of, I think Larry and I have that in common, our African experience. Mine was much shorter than yours. But the experience to to put together a major farm management survey and monetize outputs, inputs, enumerators were situated throughout the mountains. And as a young, in my mid-20s, I was would take horseback and Land Rovers and motorcycles and travel and collect this data. And that was a wonderful experience for a young guy at that time. And that was a great accomplishment or something I was very proud of. And of course, it's found its way in illustrations, I think, throughout my pastoral experience too. In terms of the pastoral experience, I always was proud of the two major building programs that I was a part of.
Sure.
They were also positive.
Mm-hmm.
And in those days, we often had volunteerism, and I would participate together with the men, got a chance to know the men well.
Physically building
and
things.
Physically build. And it was just to see the structure go up and to see then the church filled subsequently as well was something I was very, very pleased, both in particularly in Drumheller and also in Cochrane here. And then I think, too, the opportunities in Drumheller, a rural community, the growth was slow, but it was steady. But I was very pleased to eventually become the pastor of the community. Then here in Cochrane to see some periods of times where there was very rapid growth and we saw fruit for our labors. And I knew I hadn't changed one iota, but God was bringing the blessing us and with his favor. And that was a very rewarding and joyful time to serve. And those memories I hold very dear.
Mm-hmm. So Don, when do you remember like it dawning on you like, oh, I maybe need to think about retiring or what's next? What triggered that, or do you remember when you started thinking about it seriously?
Yeah, I think seriously thinking about it would be about 2 years ago. And suppose there's something that happens within your heart that God begins to, release you or prepare you for another season. And then also there's circumstances as well that come along. And I remember meeting together with our team. There are six senior men working at our Western Canadian District office. Mm-hmm. We would meet on once every 6 weeks or so. And I remember at that time there was a discussion about the next term. Our district superintendent was projecting that he may have one term. That would be a beginning in 2019, 4 years. Mm-hmm. And I thought to myself, I don't think I would really want to go into another term. And I guess I'd always thought in my mind that 65 was something that was realistic. It was for retirement. And then I think as well there was a reorganization that was going to take place. And I knew about that about 2 years ago. And I thought, you know what, 65, I don't think I want to try to reinvent myself or try to secure a place in that reorganization. I think it's legitimate at 65, if God would release me then to retire and have other opportunities in the future. So I think there were circumstances and there was something happening in my heart, both of those mm-hmm. things. Mm-hmm. And that's not atypical of the way God often leads us.
And Larry, as how is your comfortability with the thought that there's a changing season here? Have you been comfortable with that idea right from the start, or has it been how have the emotions been?
Yeah, I think it's a process you go through. You kind of go through the stage of, first of all, talking about it, and it's more of a, this is the next step. It's an approach that way. But when the reality wakes up and you start thinking, well, within a certain number of months, I won't be in the same position that I was when I was in full-time ministry, then it starts to set in that there will be some pretty major changes ahead. Some of those we welcome. Others will, from everyone that I've talked to who's already been through the retirement process or is in it, it can be a little bit uncomfortable because you now have some vacuums that need to be filled with other things that up till now ministry has filled fully. So I'm comfortable with the idea, but you might want to ask me that question a year down the road to see how I'm doing.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Tell me about the conversations with your wives. What's that been like?
Yeah, that's been interesting. Ironically, that conversation really came to a very sharp and fast focus as I lay on a hospital bed at Foothills Alliance Church 6 hours before I was going to have open heart surgery.
Or at Foothills Hospital.
I mean, Foothills, yeah.
Maybe you're at the church, but I saw you at the hospital.
Well, yeah, we were lying in the church too, maybe. It was the hospital this time. But that's when I realized that I'd really, really been, as they say, the old cliche, burning the candle at both ends, trying to finish a degree. My health had kind of been ignored at the expense of getting to my next milestone in life. And I realized now that I had to start thinking differently about my life as being in what they often refer to in counseling circles as the final chapter of your life. It's a little bit scary to use the word.
Yeah.
But I realized now I needed to look at what I really wanted to do with the rest of my life. And some of that was stepping back and saying work isn't all there is in life. It's a very important part. And so I realized from that point on that we needed to talk about it. So Pixie and I had quite a heart-to-heart talk there at the hospital that night as we said, if we come through all of this well, then we'll look at what we're going to do from here on out. My surgeon also walked in and said, well, Larry, if everything goes well in this surgery, we could probably guarantee you another 20 years. And you kind of go, wow, when they start framing it in years, life really takes on a whole different picture. So you have to ask yourself, if I had 20 years left, what am I going to do with that? Well, I'm living that out now.
Well, I feel you should just keep working for me.
I would like that.
Don mentioned it was 21 grandkids.
12.
Somehow I mixed up the numbers.
Well, I'll just turn the numbers around.
You 12 got grandkids. The youngest is only... How many days old?
Just days, maybe a week or so old, you know.
Okay, how many grandkids do you have?
And I have 12, one that's just a week old
as well.
Okay,
so there's
we're tracking together.
That's right. We played hockey, and now we're competing in grandkids.
Yeah. That's right, yeah.
Don, tell me about how Bev has felt about how you've dealt with this together.
Well, we didn't have that, you know, that stark, you know, crisis or as you did, Larry, with a heart attack. And I can appreciate, you know, what would, you know, what that would precipitate the conversation. For us, it was much more natural. It was a sense of, are we prepared to do it? And I would think even Bev, you know, was very cooperative or even excited about it as well. As in the initial stages, you begin to fantasize a little bit. Well, what will we do and what could we do? And the time we could spend with grandchildren and travel and all of those sorts of things. And so that's sort of the nature of it. But for Bev, we both wanted to, first of all, there's a level of preparedness, and you want to consult with a financial advisor. Mm-hmm. That's an important piece. Yeah. And make sure, you know, that financially you're ready. In terms of, you know, we felt as well that if our health was good, that we would like to retire maybe a little bit earlier. So we had some good active retirement years to do the things that we dreamt of. And so when we put those things together and discussed with some confidence and counselors, financial counselor, we felt that we could do it at 65. And I must say that that seemed to, we both came to that conclusion together. Mm. And it's been, there wasn't a coercing one or the other at all.
And when you finally put it in front of your boss, like, saying, I think the time has come. Was that just an easy step, or did it feel like it was getting real at that moment?
Well, I told you earlier that there was a time when we met in Canmore with my other colleagues, and there's five others. There's six of us all together, and our district superintendent was you know, explaining about what's going to come down the pike. And I shared with them early on, probably was 2 years ago.
Okay.
They were very good. He held that in confidence, and he asked me periodically what my intention might be. And so that was good. I also shared that with my colleagues, so they were also well aware of it. And I have to say that I felt supported, I felt respected, I felt that it was my retirement age, which was, or period, was my choice, and what that was accommodated. And then in these last few months, you know, I felt greatly honored by our office and by Brent Trask, our district superintendent as well. So, I told him this would be my intention. I will not go with you into the final term. And I thought as well that it was maybe something of a gift that I could provide. I love our Christian Missionary Alliance organization, and I felt that there was an opportunity for me to perhaps step out of the way and allow somebody younger and another individual to come in and to serve and to give, you know, the organization or the district superintendent that opportunity. And because I had served there for 14 years and been thoroughly blessed by it.
Larry, I know your boss a little bit better, so I'm familiar with the story, but it's similar for you in that you telegraphed with me, well, that's a year and a half ago maybe. It was a long process for us. Would where you are now, would you recommend to people? And I know you're not in everybody's work situation, so maybe a different office or a different working environment is not the same as where you are. But would you recommend giving a long lead time or hold it under your hat?
Yeah, I think to use an old phrase that our former Premier Klein used to use, when the fire in the belly has gone, it's time to make a move. And there comes a time that doesn't imply in any way that I'm disgruntled or unhappy with what I'm doing. In fact, much the opposite. There's some regrets that you are finally saying goodbye to a group of people that are really the most special people in the world, at least in this stage in my life, that you have the joy of serving. But inevitably, you're going to say goodbye in some senses of the word. But I think it's good to talk about it and not, like, it's better to embrace it than to avoid it. And it's certainly better to work with the system instead of trying to say, well, I'm going to wait till I'm kind of feeling that pressure to be moved out. And I never felt that at all. And that's, I'm not just saying that because my boss is the one doing this interview. But I felt that there was a process in place where I was given the freedom to move and make decisions on my own, but also to kind of merge out instead of just be handed a slip of paper saying you're done here. So, yeah, I think there needs to be a process, a place where you're actually working through leaving, but you're doing it in a positive way, not in a forced way.
Okay.
But as you said earlier, that isn't, depending upon the work environment, the situation, that's not always a privilege that everyone has. Sometimes you have to hold those cards close to your chest. Certainly. Other times you can be more forthright, and you have to gauge that,
right.
I think.
Yeah, as I've talked with others who are going through the retirement process, they said, well, Larry, that's you've been blessed to have a system like that because ours was quite a bit more abrupt, or we just kind of looked at it and there we could see that financial and fiscal restraints were going to be what dictated my leaving, all of those kind of things. Mm-hmm. I never for a minute felt that way. I felt that they were saying, Larry, when you're ready, we're ready to work with you. And the leaving process has been virtually seamless. It's been great.
That's good.
So looking ahead, what most are you looking forward to? What is exciting you about the next or the last chapter, so to speak?
Well, there's many things, a plethora of opportunities that you have to, you know, sift your way through. But in the immediate, we look forward to doing some travel. That's not unusual for retirees, that I have a truck and trailer and I'd like to travel in North America and see some places we've never seen before. Perhaps we can even travel abroad on occasions as well. Of course, we also desire to spend a little more time with our grandchildren. They're growing older quickly.
Absolutely.
And we just like to celebrate their, well, a concert or a sports event or some sort of a birthday or celebration of some kind. And that would be meaningful. Also, we're looking forward to, I've often said that I don't need a shingle or a title in order to love God and to love people. And I just very much believe that it's not, you know, retiring from ministry, but I can still continue to love people and to love God and to serve. And there's a ministry that He has for me. I will continue in the immediate to be the chairman of our National Association of Alliance Chaplains, and I'll continue to do that for a period of time. And I would suspect there may be, from time to time, opportunities. And I want to serve in my local church and even attend it on a more regular basis.
That's good.
Jason, you know that I love the activity and the outdoors and woodworking, hiking. I was biking today and a little some golf. And so just the opportunities to do a variety of things.
Yeah. Okay.
I think for me, just having a little bit more control of my own time to do things that have, by necessity of having to work, which has not been it's been a gift to have work. But now I can say, well, I have more control over my time. And so there's some things that I've always wanted to do that I've never been able to do just because of time restraints. So we'll be doing some of those things. That includes travel as well. Pixie and I are just now looking into probably investing in some kind of vehicle which allows us to camp as well. And because we passionately like doing that, not just as a couple, but also with our families, because they're all into that as well. So we're really looking forward to that. How long that'll be an exciting thing, I don't know. The body kind of dictates how long you do those kind of things, but that's what we're going to do. We also we have a dream, and whether that ever happens, I would love to go back to Africa and visit all of the pastors that Pixie and I trained, who are now quite a bit older and have become veteran ministers in remote corners, and just to meet all of them again and see them in that context would be a real wonderful thing for me to actually finish my life with. That is in the back of my mind as a dream. We'll see how the health holds out in that regard as well.
What are your adult kids saying to you?
I think that they are celebrating with us. I remember my one son said, well, that's a job well done, you know, and enjoy, you know, the something of the fruits of your labor. They've honored me and Bev and I, you know, as they have come to different farewell functions and to family gatherings now, and have made some kind words and have written some things as well. I think they probably look back and are sort of curious as to how this is all going to work, you know. And they're happy for us and want us to, you know, to enjoy, the fruits of our labor. But I think they're just, you know, well, now they're seeing it up close. And I think it almost brings it to mind for them. Mm. I know with one couple, Jesse and Kara, they talk about, well, we know at a certain time we're going to, you know, buy a certain luxury or holiday travel trailer or something like that, and we're going to tour as well, and that's what we would like to do. And so those kind of conversations come up, but those are just dreaming for them at this point.
Always down the road.
They got a lot of work to do first.
For me right now, the thing that we're looking in the immediate future is grandkids. Again, we just love being with them and enjoying every stage as they grow up. And they have a pretty good rapport with us too, so that's not a drudgery for us. We don't know where that all goes, because they're all in the workforce, at least some of them, most of them are. But we will be doing a lot of grandparenting, that's for sure. I think too, one of the things that I would like to do is again develop some more hobbies, not multiple hobbies, but develop some of the things that I'm interested in. I still love gardening and landscaping and stuff like that. So we'll do some of those kind of things. But the kids are all saying, whatever you want to do, we'll follow along. And they're the ones that are promoting, like, everyone's now having to coordinate when we get together as a family, but we'll have a little more freedom to make that happen after maybe we've stepped back a bit.
Mm-hmm. So we're pastors here, and some Christians would say, look, guys, there is no retirement in the kingdom of God, that you serve till you drop. And when did the Apostle Paul or those guys got martyred and they worked to the end? What's your response to that?
Yeah, I've had people say that to me as well. They're saying that really in God's service, you never retire. And I say, really, I think retirement is the wrong word when it refers to a Christian. We don't retire in the sense that we sit on our couch and drink coffee all day. We step back, and it's more, I would like to use the word transition instead of retiring, because I don't plan to sit back and do nothing. I plan to be working with people whose lives are broken and still need someone to come alongside them. That's where I'm in my sweet spot. It'll look different doing it in my own time, in my own space, rather than under the umbrella of a church. But I'll always be involved with people. I would be bored if I wasn't. So what that looks like exactly now, that still needs to be determined. But no, I don't see myself ever retiring in the sense that I'm going to sit back and everyone waits on me and brings me my slippers in the morning. I want to keep busy.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's very accurate and very good, Larry, what you just shared. You know, not so much retirement, but transitioning to something else. And I think to add to that as well, that there is a sense that we are to prepare the way for the next generation as well.
I agree.
And that means that
we
need to step aside and to move on. And I have seen sometimes where an individual might hang on to something when their effectiveness is long past. And that is a very difficult and can be a destructive situation for the church in which they serve. And so I think everything is for a season. Leadership is for a season. You can look at the scriptures. The Apostle Paul, I think, said the things that you have learned, you entrust to reliable men who are qualified to teach others. And so our job is to bring up that next generation and to train and equip, and then also to allow them to serve. And I agree with you, Larry, very much, that I don't feel like I'm just simply going to be placed in the pasture. I feel very much that there are ample opportunities, and God has a place for me to serve and a ministry for me, just like he did for these past 37 years. But it'll be different, and so it should be. Your age and your energy level and and, you know, just dictate that it'll be different.
Okay. Maybe let me allow you to give some direct advice here. If you're talking to a guy like me or a woman who's the same age as me in their 40s, what would you say to them about thinking about retirement? Would you say, don't worry about it at all? It'll come in its own time? Or what would you say to someone, and as they approach 50 or 60, what kind of advice would you give to a person about thinking about retirement or planning about retirement, knowing that I'm not necessarily asking you as financial advisors, although that's certainly a part of it?
Yeah, I would say, as I look back, I had some pretty good mentors who kind of prepared me for the day when this would come. So at least in the back of my mind, I always knew that it was going to happen. But if I was giving advice, I would say dream big while you still have the health to do it, and stretch yourself while you're able to do those kind of things with the energy levels that you've got as a younger person. But also realize that there will come a day when things will start to taper off. Like someone here said earlier, you still think like a 27-year-old. You do. I don't feel old in my mind, most days anyway. But I think there comes a time when you have to realize that you are on the other side of the hill, and that's not a negative thing, but you just got to live with that reality. But I still think you can make an impact in the world that you live in, but you're going at it from a different position than you did when you were a younger man.
So if I could sum that up, you'd say seize the day, like grab it and go for it while you have the energy and capacity.
Yeah, and I think too, often we kind of think my life will never end. We kind of have this idea that it just goes on in kind of a neutral thing, but what we have to realize is that in the early part of our life, we have more ability to do things because of our energy levels, and so we want to live to the fullest that we can and take some risks, do some big dreaming and try to follow through on those dreams, because one day you just won't have the capacity maybe to do it to the same extent.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, Larry, and especially in terms of your 40s, I think that's really good advice. Yeah, and and I remember even thinking of that and when I was in my 40s serving here at Cochrane Alliance Church, and all of a sudden it dawned on me that, you know, my career could come to an end as far as full-time ministry. And I thought, if there's ever a time where I'm going to say it, and something that needs to be said, and is to take the courage to say it, or to take some initiative within the body or the congregation to do it, and to lean in wholeheartedly. And I remember that dawned on me very personally, that it's not going to just indefinitely carry on the way it is. Then when you get into your 50s and 60s, as far as a pastor goes, I've had the privilege now of not only walking through those years as perhaps a pastor, a clergyman, but also to assist and to help others. And I have seen on numerous occasions that if you don't recognize that there is a time when it is going to end, it can be to your detriment, because it does change. When you enter into your 50s, for example, you want to be very strategic with where you're serving or placement, and consult, obviously with God and discern where He might have you. And we trust that it can be with some degree of convergence, where all your passion and your experience and qualifications just come together in a beautiful way. But if you don't take any heed to that, and all of a sudden wake up and think, well, I think I'm going to have a change of position in my 60s, it can be very difficult to find a replacement, especially in the realm of pastors and clergymen. And so I would counsel, it is good to look into the future and to size up your own future, and then strategically, carefully, again, I'm speaking primarily to pastors, to look at, perhaps I need to make a move, or otherwise I'm fine where I am and I can carry on and to serve as long as I would perhaps like. Okay. So those are just some words of counsel, some observations that I've made.
Okay. What will it mean to walk? Do you think you'll walk with Jesus any differently with maybe not so much structure around? Do you Do you sense God calling you to any new practices or any sense on your personal relationship with God? So we've talked a lot about serving people, and I'm excited to hear that that's a priority for you. What about just on your own soul? Is there anything that you feel that God is saying or calling you to, or something you want to try?
Yeah, I think what I'd like to do a bit more is kind of go back to where I was when I was an eight-year-old boy, and once again lay my life before God and say, okay, God, these two-thirds of my life are behind me. Now what? What do you want me to do to engage with where you have me going, where your wave is going, if I can put it that way? And kind of reliving that experience by saying, God, I'm completely open to do anything, anytime, anywhere, at any cost, even in my ripe old age of post-65. Mm. So kind of laying myself open to it. Like people say to me, what are you going to do when you retire? And I say, you know, to be honest, it's a bit vague right now.
Okay.
I just know I'm going to do something, and I want God to be part.
Okay. So the blank, I know the blank page, that's been the theme of your life from your prairie days, but doing the blank page again and seeing what God writes on
exactly. it. Exactly. And, you know, not in a sensational way, but just saying, okay, God, I'm a little bit more elderly and I don't quite have the energy levels, but that doesn't mean I'm on the shelf and unusable for your service anymore.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a real good question, and something that I have thought about as well, and I have talked with God about it as well. I enjoy getting up earlier in the morning and having my quiet time, and I have, simply reading my Bible and then journaling. I've developed the practice of journaling quite a number of years ago and expressing my thoughts and my prayers to God in that way. And I've asked them, I said, in these latter years, if you would give me the privilege of just developing a very close relationship with you, where there's a love relationship for one another, and that is first and foremost, and I enjoy you, and somehow the love that I have for him and he for me just sort of exudes very naturally out of my just my interaction with others, and so that has been my desire, that relationship would grow first and foremost, that I might know him, the full heights and the depth and the length and the breadth of the love of God, and so that's been my desire.
I think another thing I'd like to do is to kind of take a couple young Timothys under my watch in my final days. When I first started off at Foothills Alliance, Lem Fowler was an elderly man who was retired, and to the day he died, he took a very, very, very careful interest in me. When I came home from Africa, he said, I can't reach you in Africa, so now that you're home, I'm going to phone you once a week, I'm going to tell you one joke, and then pray for you. And that was just, he had a great sense of humor. But when he passed away, it was a very sad day in my life because I felt I was losing my Paul. And so I've kind of determined that I want to do that. I'm actually looking at one guy here in the church already. We meet on a very regular basis. And I'm pushing him a little bit more to not settle for status quo living, but to do what some other men did with me, and that is to dream big dreams with God in the center of them.
Okay, thank you.
Larry, it's interesting because I, too, in the last year, have been meeting with a number of retirees from my congregation here, and it's been a really a helpful experience for them to speak into my life as well and help prepare me for these coming years. So I think it's important, the friendships and opportunities to also mentor others, too.
Okay. We've mentioned Cochrane Alliance a few times, and I like to say that the real podcast audience is global and worldwide, but most I suspect that take an interest in what we have live here in Cochrane in some part of our church community here. So I know that Cochrane Alliance has been you've shared important years, all of us have, with this church community. Anything you would want to say in the midst of this transition to this particular church community and those that might be listening?
I might say that for us, it's been a real gift for Bev and I to come back to Cochrane. Here we once served, and then for 8 years we lived in Calgary. And then as we thought perhaps what the future may hold, to come back to this community has been a wonderful gift. We have no regrets about that. We love this church, and we love the staff and the leadership that serves us so ably as well. And also, we love this community, and it's been a wonderful thing. And so I think both of us look forward to, continuing on with old friends, but also developing some new friends. And we're grateful for the number of new people that, of course, always show up here. Mm-hmm. And so for us, we enjoy very much, and we feel like this is a gift. In retirement, so many times, so many things change, but we're grateful that even though my role has changed, the church where we attend, the community where we live in, continues stable. Is stable. Right. So that's been a great gift.
Thank you.
Yeah, for me, I'd like to be able to know that even though I'm going to be here, this is going to be where I still worship and attend, and this is going to be my church family. I wouldn't want to go anywhere else just because this is where my affection for people are. But I do want to say to my church before I get older and maybe pull back even more, I never want them to lose two visions. The first one would be for lost people in a world that still needs the old-fashioned gospel message. We will change the modalities as to how we do that, but I still want that to go ahead. I want to see some young people who seriously look at making the same or a similar kind of commitment that I did and actually following through on that. Secondly, is I want to make sure that our church always has a vision for our community, that we look at our town as being what God has called us to reach, and that is front and center in what we do, that we don't become ingrown or in any kind of way thinking that we're exclusive. We are planted here for this community, and God calls us to carry that out. I hope we can always do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would want to say something to both of you in that if you're passing the torch in some way, I suppose that I'm receiving it in one way or another. And Larry, there's been not only have we served together in this church, but there's many times I've been on your couch wondering about a certain crisis experience or that. I've appreciated your friendship and your ministry, not just as someone who serves alongside, but has benefited from that. And it will be exciting to see you take this step as a man, but also a bit sad for me not to have that steady presence that has been by me almost my entire time as the lead pastor here. So wish you God's blessing. And Don, I wouldn't be where I am now without about your leadership and your observation, or at least seeing something in me as a very young leader. So thank you for, I can remember mostly encouraging comments. And the first time I ever got told I need to straighten some things out, those are always done in appropriate ways.
Absolutely.
And thank you for the way that it's been neat, not only to have benefited under your direct leadership as my boss, but then in an advisory complimentary role. And I have nothing but good to say, and I'm appreciative to that and hope that I will, for both of you, I'd say I hope that I, as one of the people who've gleaned from you, will carry the torch well from in the next step, and will be cheering you on whatever this next season looks for you.
Well, thank you, Jason. It's been a total joy here. And I think I tell all of my staff, and you've heard me say this multiple times, our best years as a church are still ahead. I say that somewhat prophetically. I also say it because I can see that God is just on the verge of breaking into our church in brand new ways that we have never dreamed of. I hope I'm around long enough to see some of that.
Yeah, thank you, Jason, as well. And I just am thrilled to now, have the privilege, and I think every pastor has to come to this point at some time or another where you are no longer on the platform and you are the recipient.
Absolutely.
And it's been a sheer delight, and you have been God's instrument to feed my soul in many times, and I look forward to it in the days ahead. So I'll be praying for you and cheering you on,
for sure.
and also hope to be able to serve and contribute in appropriate ways in the days ahead as well. So thank you for this. It's helped crystallize even what, you know, my experience of moving into retirement in just days here.
Well, and happy birthday.
Thank you.
I don't know, is there a birthday supper happening tonight?
No, the girls have gone to West Edmonton Mall to meet with one of my daughters, and they're hanging out there. And so I'll be picking up my son-in-law and his little family, and we'll go home tonight. But we've had lots of celebrations.
Oh, okay.
I've been well-celebrated.
So maybe just hot dogs tonight, then, huh?
Yeah. Or hamburgers.
Hamburgers, okay, one more step.
Nothing wrong with a good burger. All right, gentlemen, thank you. And I'm hopeful that this may be a source of thought or inspiration for other people who either maybe are entering into this transition very soon or maybe a long time, but they're thinking about it a little bit differently. So appreciate your time today.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to The Real Podcast. For more information on this episode and others, check out our website at cochranalliance.com/real. Until next time, keep it real.